Welcome to Startup to Scale, a podcast by Food Bevy. I'm your host, Jordan Buckner. Join me as I talk to aspiring entrepreneurs, seasoned industry experts, and everyone in between as we unlock the keys to growing from startup to scale.
Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Startup to Scale podcast. And for today's conversation, I have on Arik Marcus, who is the founder and owner of Urban Pantry. Arik, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So I would love for you to start off by telling me about Urban Pantry and how you started the business.
Sure. Well, Urban Pantry is my line of global street food inspired hot sauces. I'm a fan of hot sauce and definitely not the kind that is going to cause you pain as you're eating your food, but rather to have more authentic international ingredients to complement and enhance your favorite foods without feeling like one sauce fits all.
And your flavor profiles are great, and you have flavors from around the world. How did you get started with that approach?
Well, this all was born of my background as a traditional chef. I worked in traditional hospitality, running restaurants and catering companies, doing a lot of consulting, but being able to prepare authentic foods from around the world, especially as I kind of came up in an era that suddenly went through this fusion phase. But I wanted to really honor those authentic flavors and complement them in ways that were appropriate for the venues in which they were being enjoyed. So if I threw a couple random examples out there, when I cooked in a Pan-Asian restaurant in San Francisco, I learned about sambal oleg and chili garlic sauce, and I wanted to incorporate those flavors of proper red chilies and fresh ginger, fresh lime, fresh garlic into appropriate Asian sauces. I've cooked a lot of Italian food. And when I first tasted the chilies of the southern Italian region of Calabria, it was an eye-opener and a life-changer. So things like that I found inspiration in and just wanted to carry a few steps further.
Absolutely love that. And I love that you have experience on the flavor side of food because, you know, I talk to a lot of brands who have kind of lost touch with that food should actually taste good. And so it's always refreshing that you come from the culinary side of the business. One thing that I'm always fascinated by talking to early stage companies is how you finance your business, because this business is really, really expensive and deceivingly so, because it's very cheap to get started and very expensive to grow. So can you tell me about how you started the business and how you've been able to get off the ground?
Sure. It's almost a little bit tongue-in-cheek the way some of this came about. So right before COVID lockdown started, I had been consulting for an Italian restaurant group and developing a new concept while overhauling both the menu and operations of an existing one. And there were things that I just started bringing in on my own as we were working on dishes with the chefs and going through some menu item development. I just kind of geeked out on my own. I had that proverbial container of Calabrian chilies in my backpack and got everybody to discover them and share it and fall in love with it. And then we went into lockdown. And for me, with a father of a son and my wife at home and a dog and the access that I had to food in any kind of meaningful way, and this is when the cloud was forming over the world and what the hell are we going to do? And I bought a wholesale bag of 50 pounds of brown rice, and I bought a 25 pound box of dry white beans. And I wanted to come up with ways where if we were going to be stuck inside for who knows how long, that I could still bring some variety into the meals that we were going to prepare every day. And I leveraged my knowledge of the world's cuisine to try and simplify things like literally rice and beans. And we just loved it. Even my 10-year-old was like, "Dad, this tastes really good. It's just making my food taste better and it's not hurting me. It's not burning me." So that was kind of where it was born. I was able to order things like bottle and caps online. I took some online food safety classes and got certifications in processing consumer packaged goods. And I just started making these things in my home kitchen and people started to really enjoy them.
I love that. So you started in your home kitchen as a lot of the food products do, which is really exciting. Who were your first customers? How did you start getting them to the world outside your home?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Basically went to ask some friends about what they thought. And all the friends who I asked are chef buddies here in the Boulder and Denver, Colorado areas. And like, hey, let me just throw you some bottles. You all taste them, see if you like them. And as you're getting exclusively takeout orders, maybe put some of this stuff in little ramekins and send it along and just see how people like it. And it really all started as that word of mouth, just do it for free. And hopefully people who receive it are calling the restaurants after the fact to ask about it and to see how they can get it more. And it had some eyebrows raised and it got some interest.
That's exciting. So were you selling mostly then once you got out to the world, like selling on online and having a D2C business, did you think that you would grow the business into retail stores? What approach did you take?
That was definitely the desire. I mean, the benefit of being in Boulder, Colorado is such a foodie town, not just on the restaurant side, but also on the retail side. And we've got these really unique one-off businesses that are old school here. There is a random block size hardware store that's independently owned called McGuckin Hardware. And they are known for having a wall of hot sauce. And that was my first target. Let me get these four varieties on the wall of hot sauce and let's see what happens. And that was the first place they landed. I started to build out my own website on Shopify and tried to just get it in front of people as best I could, knowing that people were in front of their computers more. But the goal definitely became to grow this into more retail outlets.
And I think a couple years into being a bootstrap business, you had an opportunity to launch with a large customer, Fred Meyer. Is that right?
It is. Yeah. There too, an absolute lucky break. I'm a member of the Naturally Network in Naturally Boulder, and it's a phenomenal community of people and companies on all sides of the food and health products related businesses. And it was going to the annual pitch slam at the Naturally Boulder get together and learning during that pitch slam that there was going to be a little internal pitch slam that would filter upwards towards the Kroger group and some leaders out of Cincinnati who were coming down to try a few brands that the Naturally Boulder higher ups filtered out and thought would be cool to present. And I was one of 10 companies with products selected to then go in front of Kroger. And I think I was one of two or three to actually be selected to move forward. So miracle of miracles.
That's exciting. How big was the first order that you got from them?
It was for a pallet of each of the four sauces, which was phenomenal. Wow. There are 240 cases on a pallet with 12 bottles in a case. So all of a sudden, I had a lot of work to do. And the trickiest thing then, of course, is looking at my cost basis and thinking about what it was going to cost me to do the production before I could even bill for it, let alone deal with delays there might be with setting up with new distributors. Somehow, I had to come up with almost $12,000, $13,000 to be able to go through the production piece. And that wasn't exactly sitting around the house.
Yeah, no, food is known to be very expensive, and especially when you get those big opportunities. It's like, this is amazing. Oh shit, how am I going to finance this? To actually get out the door, let alone sell it at the end. So tell me about what you were thinking about as you consider ways of financing this order. You know, sometimes people go to friends and family if they're lucky enough. Other times they'll think about raising money, sometimes looking at debt. What options did you think about and kind of why?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Something that I had been able to do in the past was to go to friends and family who were in a better financial position than my own. And this goes back years and years to when I opened my own restaurant. And some of it was just time and place, and it was people believing in me. And I made the mistake that I still beat myself up for picking a shitty partner. And all those people who had invested cash in my efforts to open a restaurant basically all got left out in the cold. And it's still an emotional burden I carry with me. For as much forgiveness as I've gotten from all these folks, they also still haven't gotten their initial investment back, let alone a return on it. So I wasn't going to them again. I looked into the possibility of taking a loan against my home mortgage and not knowing what was going to happen in the world. considering, you know, this global epidemic, pandemic, I didn't want to go that route because I like my house and I like my family being together with me under it. And lucky enough to have a resource for references like the Naturally Network, I just asked the executive director of Boulder, of Naturally Boulder, hey, I've got this PO and I want to make the product. I don't have any funding to get it. And it took him about 4 seconds to say, I want to introduce you to a company called Ion Financial, based here in Boulder with offices in several other cities around the country. And one of their founders lives here in Boulder. Let me make the introduction and let's see what happens.
That's definitely a huge opportunity to make it work. So tell me about that conversation that you had. Then you reached out to Ion Financial about funding this order. And what did they say? I know you're a small business. It's probably your largest order to date. How did they approach it?
Well, they were really open to it and understanding. And it was pretty clear to me that they have dealt with similar situations with similar operations in the past. I think what I appreciated about them is that their initial turnaround and access to cash from the time of application was relatively quick, which allowed me to respond quickly to Kroger. I can only imagine that if I was slow out of the gate, that it would have been easy for them to say, okay, yeah, thanks again, and moved on to the next outfit. They at Ion wanted the documentation of the purchase order. They wanted to see that I had all of my operations documentation in place, that I was food safety certified, that I had already done the exploratory outreach to various co-packers, that all of my logistics and operational know-how was set up, and then it gave them more confidence to give me the cash. We set up very reasonable payment terms, and their initial interest charges, their percent interest that they got out of me, was also very reasonable. So it allowed me to keep more and more money in the business based on my product of goods and being able to keep my roof.
That is definitely important. And, you know, there's a lot of stories about founders, you know, putting up their houses and sometimes losing their houses. And that's not a risk I think a lot of people actually want to take. So I'm glad you were able to find the way, and especially being a smaller business, that they were able to work with you. So that's not like a PO financing vehicle that you're able to use with them. And then how did it go? Were you able to get everything produced and get the order out?
Yes. Yeah. Once I was able to take on the PO and live the order, Kroger passed me on to the distributor UNFI. And it was a deep breath of air for me that when Kroger goes to UNFI and says, hey, guess what? You're bringing this product in because we're going to drop it into 85 stores in the Pacific Northwest. So get on it. That's definitely a much easier way to get into that distributor's book than it is for me to hope I run into them at Expo and beg for that, you know, glass of water somewhere so I can try and get in front of somebody. So in that way, it gave me a lot of confidence in my product. And because I had earned the confidence of the largest retailer in the country. That also was able to drive me into the next geographical areas. So outside of Oregon and Washington State, Kroger also got me in touch with DPI and increased my footprint across the state of Colorado and now into Arizona, which Arizona was a surprise. I had no idea that was coming. But for me, being able to fund additional POs because of the profit margins that I had earned after the initial sale from that first PO has made a huge difference. When I had the additional POs and I needed just a little more funding just to be able to get that production over the finish line, I had already proved my worth to Ion, thankfully. And even though they made available a lot more money than I wanted to take, I certainly appreciate that, but that's where better financial management for me. It's like, I only want to take what I need and maybe less than that so that we keep our relationship solid.
That's definitely good discipline. Have you been able to utilize or have plans to utilize any other financial vehicles with them or others as you grow?
I think right now, really being able to focus on operations, and now it's much more going to be on marketing and public relations efforts. I feel like I got a very, very lucky break in that people tasted the product, fell in love with the product, wanted to see distribution of the product. And now I've gotten on over 300 sets of Kroger branded shelves. Now my biggest challenge is getting it off the shelves. And as I look for more retailers, hey, that's great. But movement off the shelves is what's going to ultimately allow me to stay there and to be able to score more purchase orders from them.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge fan of that. And as a little plug, we just launched our ultimate guide to working with merchandisers for CPG brands that goes through how to think about that exact thing of moving your product off the shelf. So check it out at foodbevy.com on our industry news section. Arik, it was great having you on, and thanks so much for telling your journey. And I'm excited to follow you and see what's next and see Urban Pantry flying off the shelves.
Yeah, and hopefully see it in your baskets and on the favorite dishes of you and your friends and family. And Jordan, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for considering Urban Pantry, a company worth your interest. So thank you very much.